This is LBC London News.
Well, a very good afternoon to you. 23 minutes past four right now. And in the US presidential race, Hillary Clinton is going to launch a new offensive against Donald Trump later on today. She's expected to attack his foreign policy proposals in a speech that she's going to be making in San Diego. Mrs. Clinton is going to argue that Mr. Trump doesn't have the temperament to make critical decisions about if and when to lead the United States into war. But just how much power could Donald Trump be wielding if he won the presidency later on this year? Joining me now, live from Washington, the author of a new book about the presidency. It's called Power Without Constraint, and it's written by Chris Edelson from the Department of Government at American University. Very good afternoon to you, Chris.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Thanks very much for joining us today. So your book focuses on the ways in which George W. Bush and Barack Obama, the current president, both use the powers of the presidency to advance their foreign policy. How worried do you think we should be about putting these powers into the hands of, well, Mr. Trump?
It's terrifying to me personally. I mean, the U.S. Constitution is designed that no one person should have authority to take the nation to war. The United States Constitution gives that authority to Congress. Unfortunately, since the Korean War, beginning with Truman's decision to send troops to Korea, U.S. presidents have exercised this power unilaterally, even more so since 9/11. And President Trump could have broad discretion to commit U.S. military to action. That's a concern, certainly.
What do you think would happen if Mr. Trump was to, say, go to war with another country? What would be the process?
Here's a kind of nightmare scenario I have in mind. Donald Trump has said he wants to build a wall on the U.S. border with Mexico, and he says he will make the Mexican government pay for it. The way he says that will happen is by preventing Mexican immigrants to the United States from sending money back to their relatives in Mexico. And he says that will force the Mexican government to give in. So let's say he does this. Let's say he's elected and he tries this, and Mexico says no. And the Mexican economy is harmed because money's not coming back to Mexico and immigrants come to the United States. President Trump could argue, based on precedent, that if he thinks it's in the national interest to send to use military force against Mexico because there's regional instability, that's the precedent that's been used. That's how President Obama justified the use of military force in Libya in 2011. I think he could do that. And Congress, it would be up to Congress to take some action to stop him. Now, under international law, he would not have the authority to act, but if President Trump chose to do so, I think the only thing really stopping him would be Congress.
Yeah, I was going to say, at the end of the day, the U.S. really supposed to have a real system of checks and balances, isn't it? Everyone talks about the U.S. Constitution and the fact it empowers members of Congress to put brakes on the powers of any single president.
It does, in theory. In practice, it hasn't worked that way. Congress has been very deferential, very acquiescent. I'll give a couple of recent examples. Libya in 2011. President Obama ordered the use of military force against the Gaddafi regime, a terrible regime, but a regime that wasn't directly threatening the United States. It wasn't an emergency that justified immediate action by the president. Congress needed to step in. They didn't. They just took no action. ISIS, a hideous group. ISIS is something out of a nightmare. I can't believe a group like this really exists. But they don't pose a direct threat to the United States. So under the U.S. Constitution, the president should get authorization from Congress to go to war with them. He hasn't. Since summer of 2014, the United States has been involved in military action against ISIS, and Congress has simply done nothing.
Why do you think they haven't done anything?
It's a great question. I think a number of reasons. One, in the 2004, just before the 2014 midterm election here in the United States for Congress, a Republican member of Congress from Georgia, I think his name is Jack Kingston, was talking about this. He was talking about the action against ISIS. And he said, I do think we should authorize this, but the reason my colleagues don't take action is because they would rather have this be President Obama's problem. If something goes wrong, he will be blamed for it. I think that's probably part of it. I think, you know, for Democrats, they probably don't want to, for many of them, they don't want to undermine the leader of their own party. But I think it's, you know, those are two of the factors.
So another question for you. It was, of course, Barack Obama who famously argued back in 2008 that Hillary Clinton couldn't be trusted to take a deal with the global crisis at 3 o'clock in the morning, but then made her his Secretary of State. Isn't a lot of what's being said simply campaign rhetoric? And at the end of the day, someone like Donald Trump would find himself having to walk some sort of fairly balanced path.
Of course, that's possible. Here's my concern about Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump's campaign is unusual in recent American history, at least, in the sense that he's running more on an idea of sort of a strongman approach than any particular policy. He, after the attacks in Paris last year, Donald Trump came up with a number of proposals to prevent Muslims from immigrating to the United States, surveillance of mosques in the United States. He even suggested requiring Muslims in the United States to wear some kind of identification. It wasn't clear exactly what he meant. Maybe something would carry it. It wasn't clear. But more recently, he said, oh, those were just suggestions. I might not do it if I'm elected. I think what is clear is that he thinks it's up to him to act. He has said the problem with the United States is we don't have people who make tough decisions. He points to Vladimir Putin as an example of a strong leader. He says at least, you know, Putin gets things done. We don't have leaders like that in the United States. So the problem is, if there's a President Trump, you're right. It's hard to know exactly what he believes in. His policies change from day to day. He says they're flexible. But the problem is we would have to trust that he would use his discretion wisely. And I think that's a dangerous proposition.
Both President George Bush and Barack Obama both had long-standing political backgrounds. Donald Trump going into this presidential race without any political background. How do you think, you know, that compares?
It's hard to say how that plays out in the national security front. I mean, I think something that probably would happen is if he were elected president, he would get information that he didn't have access to. Maybe that would change his views. I don't know. But like I say, the concern I have is, and this, by the way, is not limited to Donald Trump. I think shouldn't trust any one person with this kind of authority, whether it's Trump or Clinton or Obama or George W. Bush. But sure, you're right. Trump doesn't have a background. He's ignorant on these issues. He was asked about the way the U.S. Nuclear weapons systems works, and he clearly didn't know what he was being asked about. He doesn't know about these issues, and maybe that would have an effect on him one way or the other. I'm not sure.
Of course, we're talking about not just Mr. Trump, but Hillary Clinton as well. Looks like she could quite happily win the Democratic nomination. If the powers of the presidency are as great as you suggest, would she or anyone else be trusted with them?
Exactly. My argument would be no. I mean, Trump is a particular concern to me because of his kind of strongman case for his campaign. But I think no one person should have this kind of authority, whether it's Clinton or Obama or Trump. Hillary Clinton has made clear she would use military action unilaterally as well. She supported what the Obama administration did in Libya. She has called for more hawkish action, Syria, things like that. And I think it is dangerous to give any one person this kind of power. Mistakes can be made. Things go wrong. President Obama recently said he thinks the biggest mistake of his administration was after he authorized the use of military force in Libya in 2011, not preparing for what happened afterwards. Libya is now a place where ISIS is active. It's a really dangerous situation. I think any one person can make mistakes, and we shouldn't trust any one person with this kind of power.
Well, indeed. I mean, it's often described, the presidential job, the President of the United States of America, described as the most powerful job in the Western world. So do you think there needs to be a change of U.S. Constitution, and is anyone talking about changing it? Is it likely?
I don't think there needs to be a change in the Constitution. I think there needs to be a change in the way it's applied. So on paper, the Constitution works quite well, as you talked about before, the system of checks and balances. The big problem to me right now, not to excuse what presidents do, but Congress needs to be more active. Congress has all the power it needs to limit presidents from taking action. It can pass legislation. It can prevent money from being spent. It can sanction presidents if it wants to. It can hold hearings. And when Congress wants to act, it is capable of setting limits. I'll give you an example. 2013. In Syria, President Obama was prepared to take action against Syria, against the Assad regime for using chemical weapons. He was going to do it. About 150 members of Congress sent a letter to him saying, you can't do this. The U.S. Constitution requires you come to Congress first. And he did so. So when Congress wants to act, it is capable of acting. The big problem right now is in most cases it doesn't.
And finally, Chris, if I could just ask you the million-dollar question, who do you think is going to be moving into the White House next?
Oh, geez. I mean, I really hope it's not Donald Trump. It's a terrifying proposition to me. Hillary Clinton certainly is a flawed candidate. I mean, who is not? But I have concerns about her, too. But between the two, I think we're dealing with a sort of unhinged strongman type and somebody who's at least within the realms of reasonableness. So I really sincerely hope it's not Donald Trump. I think it's embarrassing to me that he's come as far as he has.
And on that note, we'll leave it there. That's Chris Edelson from American University in Washington, D.C. His new book is called Power Without Constraint. It's published by the University of Wisconsin Press. You're listening to LBC London News, just gone 4:32 right now.